Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. We're quite possessive. He joins us weekly. The films are not. He's going to talk about the New York Film Festival. Hi, David.
Hi, Jill. How you doing?
As I said to you just a moment ago, I don't know what I said to you a moment. I'm not going to complain. How are you? You said you were all right.
Nothing's changed in the last 30 seconds.
I'm not going to complain either.
I would like to talk a little bit today about the New York Film Festival, and there's a couple of reasons for this. The film festival actually just concluded, but one of the casualties of the current pandemic has been, obviously, movie theaters all over the place are closed. Some are open, but so many are still closed. So that's a lot of problem. The films in production have had to cease production. Films not in production have had to not go into production. All kinds of casualties. And another casualty has been film festivals. Film festivals are important. Even if one doesn't live in the area where the film festival is, that they remain important for the public at large because they introduce new movies. They get early reviews, and movies very often go into general distribution after debuting at film festivals. So they're important for that reason. Even ones that take place in countries far away from the United States are important for that reason. And the New York Film Festival is one of the most important and one of the most interesting. It's also one of the ones that I have, probably the one that I have the most loyalty to, because I was on the selection committee of the New York Film Festival for many years, back in the 1980s and 90s. It takes place every year at Lincoln Center. However, this year, because of the pandemic, they had to get really, really creative at the New York Film Festival. They were not able to hold it at Lincoln Center. So what they did was, very creative solution, and many other film festivals, rather than simply shuttering, are coming up with similar solutions. They had some of their screenings at drive-ins, literally at drive-ins, and this I think is rather amusing. People think of film festivals as being highfalutin cultural affairs, and to some extent they are. But there we had them at drive-ins. But other screenings were held virtually online, and that meant that people everywhere who were nowhere near New York, the screenings were limited to people in the United States, but people could buy virtual tickets and watch movies online on their computers, on their flat screens, and so forth. So it really, I think it was a very successful festival in all kinds of ways. And again, it introduced a whole lot of movies, some of which we'll be returning to in future time, because they will be opening very, very soon, some of them, and some of them not so soon, on the commercial circuit. And we'll be able to, people who will be able to see them, however they're seeing movies nowadays, whether they have movie theaters that show worthwhile films open near them, or whether they watch them virtually online. So I'd just like to run through a few of the movies that are maybe of particular interest that people can look forward to, some of which will be, again, opening up quite soon. Actually, the first one that's going to be going into, the first one of any real interest is going into distribution really soon, so people can start looking for it. And by that, I mean it'll be streaming. People can start looking for it right away. And that is a movie by the great Spike Lee, the most important of all black filmmakers who have ever existed in the United States, an enormously important force in American film generally and in minority cinema particularly. And I want to throw in a plug for my book, Spike Lee's America, published by Polity Press. Everybody should buy and read that. But Spike Lee has directed a new movie, and the new movie features another really important American cultural figure, David Byrne. This is basically a David Byrne concert film. David Byrne, of course, being the great American rock and roll musician, best known probably for his work with Talking Heads, a group that he used to head. But now he has made a movie called David Byrne's American Utopia. And it's a concert film. And it's David Byrne himself singing and doing little dancing and choreography with some backup dancers and some backup musicians. And it's an absolutely charming rock and roll movie. Actually, I want to plug another one of my books, Rock and Roll Movies, published by Rutgers University Press, available everywhere. So I like rock and roll movies. I like the good ones, at least. And this is a very, very good one. In fact, it's the best one I've seen in years. The choreography is minimal. David Byrne doesn't do a lot of showing off. He just sings his songs and does his little dances. And I found the whole thing really quite charming. So I really recommend it. And again, it's going to be available to the general public after opening at the New York Film Festival and elsewhere very, very soon. David Byrne's American Utopia. So there's a movie I really liked. How about a movie that disappointed me, which will also be available just a little bit later in October, this very month? A movie by a director who's done some wonderful work, I think, in the past, but this time she really let me down. And this is Sofia Coppola, her new movie called On the Rocks. It's a sort of a romance, but it's mainly about a young woman and her father. And I found it really a very sort of a tired sort of a movie. One of the problems with it is that Bill Murray is one of the stars. I like Bill Murray. Everybody likes Bill Murray. Bill Murray's just fine. But this sort of slightly pathetic old man routine of his is getting very tired. And Sofia Coppola's new movie really relies on that altogether too much. I would go back and look at an earlier movie by Sofia, maybe her wonderful movie, Marie Antoinette, or perhaps her very good movie, Lost in Translation, or The Virgin Suicides, all better than On the Rocks. On the Rocks struck me as sort of, she's sort of channeling Woody Allen here. I don't mean Woody Allen the person. I mean Woody Allen the filmmaker. It's another one of these ode to New York movies, and I think that Woody generally does them better. So On the Rocks I found a real disappointment, although it certainly has its fans out there. It's been getting reviews, and some of them have been quite good, but it disappointed me. Next movie I want to talk about, also opening, streaming later this month, is City Hall by the great, great, great Frederick Wiseman. Fred Wiseman is one of the most important documentary makers who has ever lived. I believe this is his 50th film. We were in touch a little bit recently, Fred and I, and he said he's like in his 90s now, and he said he really wanted to round off his career by having done 50 films. And City Hall, I believe, is number 50. I think that's it. And it's long enough to be a Fred Wiseman movie. His movies tend to be long. This one's something like 4.5 hours long. And it's about the Boston city government. Fred has been based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, for, I think, pretty much his entire career. And this is about the city across the river, Boston, where I used to live. He lived years ago. And it's just basically like almost all Fred Wiseman documentaries, it is a movie about an institution. In this case, not just the City Hall of Boston, but the city government of Boston and how it operates and how the mayor operates and how the commissions and committees operate. And it's very exhaustive in that regard. Again, it's a very, very long movie. I found parts of it kind of tiring, kind of tedious, and I found other parts of it just endlessly watchable. Well, not endlessly, but pretty darn watchable. And like all Fred Wiseman movies, he set out to make a movie about an institution that works, and then sometimes he finds out that the institution doesn't work after all. In this case, we're left with a good feeling about the Boston city government, and that means a good feeling about government in general, and I think that's something we can use nowadays when our own government, especially our national government, gives us a lot of pause to not have much confidence. Fred Wiseman reminds us that some government can work. I don't like the way the movie ends. It ends giving allowing the mayor of Boston to give what's basically a campaign speech. I thought that was a bit much, but overall a very, very interesting and revealing and just interesting documentary. Here's a movie by a filmmaker who has been dead for many years, Orson Welles, and he is actually credited as the director of this. Not too long ago, a movie that was unfinished when Welles died, called The Other Side of the Wind, was finished by others following Welles' instructions that he left behind and all the footage that he had shot, and it was actually made available online, The Other Side of the Wind. One thing that was not included in that movie was a very, very long interview that Orson Welles did with his fellow filmmaker and actor, Dennis Hopper. And this new movie, which will be, again, available, eventually to the public online, is credited to Orson Welles because it was shot for that movie of Welles's. And it's simply known now as Hopper Welles. And it's basically about a 2.5-hour, not quite that long, 2-hour-plus interview that Orson Welles did with Dennis Hopper for this movie that Welles was making at the time. Now, Dennis Hopper is an interesting filmmaker, not remotely as interesting as Orson Welles, who's one of the greatest filmmakers who ever lived. And here we don't see Welles at all. We just hear his voice as he asks Dennis Hopper questions, and Dennis Hopper talks. And it's about the film industry, in which Hopper has been very involved, as was Welles. It's about acting. It's about being a star and a celebrity and all of that. And it's shot in a style which I identify very, very strongly with Andy Warhol. That is to say, it's black and white. The lighting is very stark, very harsh. And it's just this sort of endless, not endless, but 2-hour plus talk. And Andy Warhol made quite a number of movies that were like that in different ways. It's a fascinating movie if you're interested in Orson Welles, if you're interested in Dennis Hopper, if you're just interested in the movies generally. And above all, it's just wonderful to have a movie, even if it's not a great movie, by the great Orson Welles. Again, movies keep coming from him, even though he died some years ago. And I, for one, welcome all of this. Another movie that's going to be available very soon, made by the great black British filmmaker Steve McQueen. Very, very major force in today's movies. And this movie in the New York Film Festival was very different from some of the other films that I've been talking about, because it's not very long. It's just a little over an hour long, and it's called Lover's Rock. And it's actually the first part in a small collection of movies that Steve McQueen has made under the collective title Small Axe. And it will be available very soon streaming. That is to say, the whole package, all of these little movies, or they're not all little, some of them are longer, will be available soon. Lover's Rock was greeted, it was one of the movies that opened the New York Film Festival this year, and it's one of the movies that's received most ecstatic reviews. It didn't make me ecstatic, although it's a very, very nice little picture. It's basically a movie, a fictional movie, about a party. And it's about a party where a whole lot of people, most of them minority group members, gather together somewhere in England, and they have a party, and there's a whole lot of music played, and the people romance each other and get into little fights with each other and little conflicts with each other and little love affairs with each other. And that's what it is for a little over an hour. There's not much of a story, but there's an enormous amount of atmosphere. Again, a lot of people have just been charmed to pieces by Lover's Rock. I wasn't charmed to pieces by it, but it's a nice movie. Again, everybody should be looking for that series, Small Axe, which will be available streaming very, very soon. Again, Steve McQueen, not the actor, the current filmmaker, is an important force in today's movies. Here's one more film I'm going to mention that's going to be available very soon, French Exit. It was the movie that closed the New York Film Festival, and that's a special slot. And it was made by Azazel Jacobs. Now, I'm slightly acquainted with Azazel, and his parents, Ken Jacobs and Flo Jacobs, are old friends of mine from my New York days. And Ken Jacobs is one of the great avant-garde filmmakers of our time. He makes non-narrative films. Ken Jacobs, Azazel's father, is sort of like a mad scientist of the cinema scene, doing all sorts of wildly experimental things over many, many years, and he's a brilliant filmmaker in his own way. Azazel Jacobs is a much more commercially oriented filmmaker. He makes regular movies with stories and stuff like that. And French Exit is his latest. He's only made a few. He's still quite young. And French Exit, I found it almost worked, but didn't quite work. What it mainly has in its favor is a sort of a bravura performance by Michelle Pfeiffer, who plays an older woman who, with her son, Lucas Hedges plays him, goes off to France because she's a very, very wealthy woman who has totally run out of money. So she takes her young son and they go off to France together, and there they meet a bunch of new people and they get involved in various little adventures. And above all, we have this main character. It is totally Michelle Pfeiffer's film. And she is extremely eccentric, and we see her doing all sorts of eccentric things. And again, this is a movie which a lot of people find phenomenally charming and can't get enough of. I found it, you know, a nice little movie, but really nothing all that special, Michelle Pfeiffer's fine performance notwithstanding. That said, it's going to be available early next year, actually, probably in February. And it's a movie that a lot of people will enjoy very, very much. So again, I'm glad it got introduced in a big way by the New York Film Festival, even though it disappointed me a little bit. I'm just going to mention a few more titles that were in the festival. Some of these will be out eventually, available for people to see. Others will remain specialty items, which you'll have to sort of hunt around to find, even online. But they're worth knowing about. A movie by the great Romanian filmmaker Cristi Puju called Malmkrog. This is about 4 hours of people having an intellectual conversation. Obviously a specialty item. I found it intermittently interesting. A movie called Her Socialist Smile, a marvelous biopic about Helen Keller and her socialist political views, made by a filmmaker named John Gianvito, a very, very interesting and daring movie in all kinds of ways. A new movie by Raul Ruiz, another filmmaker who died a few years ago, but his widow, and herself a wonderful filmmaker, Valerio Sarmiento, has finished it up. It's called Tango of the Widower and its distorting mirror. Raul Ruiz has lots and lots of admirers, as he deserves, and they will be really eagerly looking for this movie. Days by Tsai Ming-Liang, one of the great Taiwanese filmmakers of our time. The Truffle Hunters, which is about just that, a documentary by Michael Dweck and Gregory Kershaw. A lovely movie that has an enormous amount of admirers and will be available probably around Christmas time this year online. Slow Machine by my former Columbia University student Paul Felton and a partner named Joe DiNardo. A very, very interesting and puzzling thriller. Undine, a movie by Christian Petzold, probably today's most prominent German filmmaker. So a lot of good stuff came out of the New York Film Festival. Some of it you can start finding online almost immediately, and I hope that people do that because it's good to know these movies are out there and the movie scene is still thriving, pandemic notwithstanding. So that is my somewhat festive story this week, Joe.
We love it when you have a festive story. Thank you so much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus. We talked about the New York Film Festival.